book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now let me just say something before I continue reading there about that. You know, when it says that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, there are a lot of manifestations of that spirit. There are some people who don't believe that Jesus Christ was a historical person, that he ever existed on the earth. There are people that actually believe that. I actually met a man one time that actually believed that. He said, well, there's no, Jesus never existed at all. And I said, I tried to reason with him, but he'd made up his mind. He'd read somewhere that Jesus never existed, and that was it for him. And then you have some people, like the Jews of his day, who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe that he is the Savior, the one that's prophesied. There are those that don't believe in his deity. He's just a man, just a prophet, just a teacher. All of those things, in other words, they deny that the Jesus of the Bible has come in the flesh. That he's both, that he's the promised Redeemer, that he's God in human flesh and fully man and fully God and all those things. And so there are a lot of manifestations of that spirit of Antichrist, but it's all the same spirit. So just something to think about there. Let's go on and read verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, before I go on, let me just say something about that. When it says, he that knoweth God heareth us, he's talking about the apostles. John was an apostle. And the word of God is given to us by the apostles and the prophets. God, the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so he that heareth not us... And he says, knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's the way we find out. We go back to the words of the apostles. We go back to the words of the prophets. We go back to the word of God. We don't have apostles today. I know there are a lot of people that claim to be apostles, but they're not. And so we need to understand that this, when it says they hear us, it's talking about what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? What does the document that God gave us through them say? That's the Jesus of the Bible that we need to look at. So just something to think about. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And once again, that is confessing that Jesus is the Son of God as defined in the Bible. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If we love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for everything that you've given us in this world. And Lord, you've blessed us mightily in so many ways. And there's so many things that we have and have had throughout our life. There are things maybe that we don't have now, but we had once to enjoy. And Lord, but Father, so often we get caught up with the material things and we miss the most important things, and we just ask that you'd help us to see the spiritual things that we need to see today. Pray you'd bless each one with understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, as we look at this passage of scripture that we read, I've kind of looked at or brought out a few things, but it's kind of an interesting thing when he talks about love. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, the inverse of that is not true. Love is not God. Love is an attribute of God, and this is talking about a very specific love. It's not talking about the way you feel about somebody else. It's not talking about any of that. This love transcends feelings. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And yet the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't approve of what mankind is doing. He does not approve of sin. We have an idea this day that the idea of unconditional love means you have to approve whatever somebody else is doing. That's not true. And if you love the way God loves, guess what? Your love will be met with the same disdain that his is. I'll elaborate that on that in a minute. But if it's genuine love, you see, people don't like God's love because they want God's love to include no judgment. No judgment for sin. They want God's love to say, well, it's okay, I still love you. It doesn't matter what you do. You can just do whatever you want to do. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. That's not the way it works. God looks, and in spite of the sins we commit, he sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus shed his blood as payment for our sins. He rose from the dead to prove that he paid it in full. And now God offers salvation as a gift. God says, what you're doing is wrong, but I love you. Here is the way out. And the proof that he loves is God is still offering salvation, is he not? But the world doesn't like that kind of love. So he says this, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There it is. That's exactly what I just told you. And he said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now, in other words, what he's talking about, when he's talking about us loving, he's talking about us loving others, certainly our brethren, and certainly a lost and dying world by extension, the same way that God loves them. That means we have compassion. But compassion doesn't mean approval. And so you look at what is being said. He said, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." In other words, there's the picture of the people that love, those that have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have the same type of love that He has. We tell people of that love. He's given us of His Spirit. The Spirit indwells the believer. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And said, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." I want you to see that when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you look at what He did. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost, right? He had apostles. We were talking about the apostles and their failures earlier, right? And yet He still loved them. I remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee and sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus knew Peter would deny Him. Jesus knew Peter would want to quit. Jesus knew everything. He knew that Peter would curse and swear. He knew those things about Him. He said, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." That's the attitude. Love of the brethren and love for a lost and dying world. Not standing up and simply tolerating everything that comes by. Not saying everything that's okay. Saying sin is sin and judgment is coming. But there's a Savior. God loves you. God wants that whole picture. And then loving people on that same basis. Not loving people based upon their behavior, towards us, but often in spite of their behavior towards us. And he says this, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world." As He is. Look at Jesus. Look at the love that He has. That assurance of salvation, knowing that you've believed on Christ, and knowing that and understanding His love for you, and then by extension taking that love out and extending it to others, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, the lost and dying world, standing. You know, when we talk about this type of love, there is a love within a church that requires discipline, isn't it? We read in the Bible that there are certain times where they were told, hey, if this guy won't repent, get him out of there. And then when he repented, confirm your love toward him. Yeah. Right? It's not anything goes, anything's acceptable. There are standards, there are things, but there's also love. There's also somebody reaching out. And sometimes we fail. People get rebellious and they leave. And then they repent. Everybody treats them as if nothing's changed. They don't forgive. That's the love of God, isn't it? Aren't you glad you can bow your knee and say, "Father, I was wrong. Please forgive me." Amen. We're talking about biblical love. We're talking about love that's greater than what you feel in a given moment. We're talking about love that transcends what you may feel. Love that transcends what other people may have done, including have done to you. You know, we get upset when people sin against us, don't we? But have you considered that every sin is against God? If somebody does you wrong, they've done God wrong. If you do somebody wrong, you've done God wrong. Every sin is against God, yet His love remains true, doesn't it? He loves us so much that as His children, He will chasten and discipline us. Like any good father. Good father doesn't chasten and discipline his children because he hates them. He does it because he loves them, and he knows that if they don't learn, that it's going to go hard with them down the line. It's going to cost them dearly. He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." You know, when the day of judgment comes, are you going to be there having loved like Jesus loved? If you've loved like Jesus loved, boy, there's boldness, isn't there? Can't get a much higher threshold than that. Have boldness in the day of judgment. Looking forward, looking and hasting unto the day of our God. That picture of that understanding. So when we look at this thing, we talk about this love. We're talking about loving our brothers and sisters and loving a lost and dying world the way that God loves. Can you do that? Certainly not in the flesh. But in the spirit, you can. You can look beyond. And you know, it says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It is an absolute, universal, 100% sure fact that if you do not learn to love the way that God loves, you are going to have issues and fear, and possibly issues with the assurance of your salvation. Because instinctively and by the Spirit, we know the way God loves. We know the way God loved us. And we know God's given us a command to love like He loves. And so when we don't do that, when we don't strive to do that, then guess what? We have a problem, don't we? We have fear. It's the normal fear of a child who's disobeyed a parent. When we get warned about giving the gospel out to people and trying to be a witness for Christ and we disregard it, next time it comes up, boy, there's that little twinge of fear, isn't it? Boy, I'm not doing what I should do. I mean, we try to quiet it a lot of times. But think about that. You want to live a life without fear? Love the way God loves. Perfect love. God's love casts out fear. You know, I'm not afraid that God's going to cast me out. Because Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Bible says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As long as Jesus is alive, I'm alive. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That kind of love cast out fear. And I found it by my experience and through the testimony of the Word of God, that when you and I seek to love that way, it alleviates our fears. And fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That means we're supposed to be the first to love others, not wait on them to love us. If you love them which love you only, what thank have ye? Do not even the publicans do so? Huh? If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You know, when we look at the passage of Scripture, it seems pretty clear to me. Just to read the Word of God and look at it and see what it says to do about how we're to love people. There's all kind of people out there that we have to deal with on a daily basis. There are people that upset me. There are people that have mistreated me. There are people that and I'm not just talking about lost folks either. But we're supposed to love them regardless. Doesn't mean you have to approve of everything they do. That's the way the world is. You know, they don't want you to say that something is morally wrong. They want you to make everything a moral equivalent. but it's not morally equal. There's right and there's wrong. There's a whole list of things that God says is just flat wrong. But the world likes to turn it around. They want to call evil good and good evil. And we can't acquiesce to that. And if you don't acquiesce to that, if you don't tolerate what the world thinks you should tolerate, if you're not willing to say that something is good or okay or morally equal to God's law, something that mankind comes up, they want to sit there and make you out to be the worst of the worst, just like they do the Lord. How many times daily is God falsely accused of something? Millions of times a day. Probably billions, because there are billions of people on the earth, right? We're talking about love the way God loves. We're talking about His love for us. Now think about this. God owed us nothing. Do you ever think about the whys and the wherefores? People ask those questions all the time. Well, why didn't God just kill Adam and Eve and start over? Well, the answer's simple. Love. Why didn't God just kill you and start over? Love. Think about that. God gives most of us a lifetime. A lifetime to repent and believe in His love. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Adam lived a whole lot longer than we do, didn't he? But he had a lifetime. The thief on the cross, we don't know how many years he lived. Probably wasn't a whole lot. But he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The old missionary C.T. Studd, I believe, said there's not one person on the earth that deserves to hear the gospel twice as long as there's somebody who hasn't heard it once. How many times did you hear the gospel before you got saved? And if you're here today and you're not saved, how many times have you heard the gospel and still continue to live and not die and go out into perdition and die in your sin? Without hope. There's a lot of people this week who have died and they're going to hell. They have a Christless eternity waiting them, an eternity separated from God, separated from all that's good. All they have to look forward to is torment. But there's a heap of people that died. They're now absent from the body, but they're present with the Lord. Sad thing is, all of them could have been. God's love manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. God's long suffering. God's long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. You might ask me, is it God's will for you to be saved? I can say unequivocally, yes. But there's only one way of salvation, and that's Jesus. And He is the manifestation of God's love toward us. And we're to be like Him. We're to love like He loved. Doesn't mean we can't make a stand. But I'm afraid a lot of making stands seem to devolve down into hatred of a group of people or whatever. We're supposed to love the way God loves. To be conscious of His love toward us and to extend that love toward others the same way. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Where are you at right now? Do you have malice toward a group of people? Hatred? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of who? Your Father in heaven. Our love should be like His love. People say, what does it mean to love? That's what it means to love. That's the type of love we have to have. It doesn't depend, my loving somebody doesn't depend on their behavior. My loving somebody doesn't depend upon how I feel. My love is manifested in my actions toward them. Do I render evil for evil and cursing for cursing and railing for railing? Or do I contrarywise blessing? There's the love of God. What a blessing it is to know that we have a Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Think about that. What a friend we have in Jesus. What love we have in Jesus. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll take a break. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, You know every heart. And I just pray You would help us to love the way that we ought to love, the way You love. Help us, Lord, to see clearly how often we've offended against You. How often we've deserved Your judgment. And how gracious You've been. And how You gave us the opportunity many times, more than once, to be saved. You answered the prayers of Your people to give us another opportunity. You sent more than one person to tell us of that great love. So Father, help us to love as You love. Help us to love as our Savior loves. Father, we thank You. We pray You bless the services today and bless each one in Jesus' name.